Join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come now we confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the circumstances of our life, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for salvation and grace, your mercy, your kindness to us. How wonderful it is for us to believe and to trust in you and then to walk by faith all the days of our lives. You walk with us. You never leave us. The table reminds us today as we join you there of your sacrifice for us. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness and grace to us. And Heavenly Father, for sending the Lord Jesus, the great mystery of godliness, the one to whom we honor and glorify today, the one revealed in flesh, the one vindicated by the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, seen of angels, proclaimed among the nations, and today we celebrate faith in Jesus Christ, believed on in the world. Hallelujah. So, Lord, now bless us as we look at your word. We thank you for this church and for the people and their faith in you. We thank you for their grace and mercy to one another and their encouragement. We thank you for those who gather with us today online. We pray for them and all their circumstances today. We thank you now in Jesus' name. We pray and praise you today, Lord Jesus. Amen. And good morning. Good to see all of you. I'm Pastor Mike. Welcome to First Baptist Church. And if you have your Bibles, find your place in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, we continue to think about this great confession that the church has been declaring to one another and by faith declaring about the Lord Jesus Christ, the great mystery of godliness. And so 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 is where we are today. I remind you again of these three contrasting statements that are made here in two lines each. Here we read Paul's words, 1 Timothy 3, 16, by common confession. This is what the church confesses through all the ages. This is what the church has been confessing now for well over 2,000 years. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. Notice the first contrast. He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, was revealed in the flesh. And he was vindicated in the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit without measure, filled with the Spirit. The second contrast, seen by angels and proclaimed among the nations. And then we come to this wonderful statement today, believed on in the world and taken up in glory. Our focal truth is this, that Jesus Christ, the mystery of godliness, has been believed on in the world. All of this, all that's been happening, all the things that are being summarize these great statements of faith lead to this wonderful experience of sinners in the world. Notice, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great mystery of godliness, revealed in flesh, vindicated in spirit, seen by angels, and as we talked about last week, preached among the nations, proclaimed among the nations, and what happens? As a result of preaching Jesus, sinners believe on Jesus in the world. They believe on Jesus in the world, in the circumstances and situations that they find themselves in. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. We have missionaries all around the world today sharing the gospel in all kinds of circumstances, in war-torn worlds, in places where persecution is great toward the church, and where there's peace, like we have in America, to be able to worship in freedom. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in the world is what you did in order to become a believer in Christ. And so today we celebrate faith in Jesus Christ. The word believed here is the word that means to be convicted that something is true. The word here means that we trust in someone with all of our life. We believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that He is the Christ. And as a result of that, we live our lives trusting in Jesus Christ. I have three observations for you today. I remind you, we come to the table of the Lord today, and we're reminded of the Lord Jesus' great sacrifice for us. And it is because he was revealed in flesh, vindicated in the spirit. He was crucified, as the scriptures say, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. And so we celebrate the gospel of the Lord Jesus today. I want you to take your Bible now and turn to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. I want us to think about this phrase a little bit more by going to perhaps the gospel that focuses more upon believing in Jesus than all the others. They all mention believing in Jesus, don't get me wrong, but John's very gospel is written with this purpose, so that whoever reads the words of John's gospel, they can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So find your place, John chapter 20, John chapter 20, John chapter 20, beginning in verse number 30. And our first observation is this: Jesus promises that whoever believes in him will have great eternal blessings. Jesus promises that whoever believes in him will have great eternal blessings. Now, what does John say as he's finishing the writing of his gospel? He says, verse 30, "Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Notice now the pattern here. Notice the pattern. These things are written, the Word of God. We have the gospel. We share the gospel with people. People read their Bible. They read what Jesus' words say about having life and being forgiven of sins and being saved. These things are written. We have these written words in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the gospel. And they're written so that we may believe. The Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we preach God's Word, as we share God's Word, as we testify about it to our friends, as we proclaim Jesus, people can believe and do believe in Jesus as the promised one, that one from the Old Testament who fulfills all the great promises of the coming one, the one who would be Messiah and the Son of God. We believe Jesus Christ is the promised one, and he is the Son of God. And that as a result of that, we continue to believe, is the way it reads. It's a present tense word. It's a verb, believing, continuing to believe in the Lord Jesus. We have life in his name. So we believe in order to be saved. We walk by faith, and we die in our faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, choir, for sharing that with us and challenging us. Now, while you're in John's gospel, I want you to look at some wonderful promises, and I can't show you all of them, but I want to show you just a few promises that Jesus has given as a result of, look, he is the promised one who has given us promises. Now, that's what I'm going to be talking about with you in the days ahead. I'm concerned that we take the time to really pay attention to the promises that we live on, that we stake our lives on, and we'll be looking at those, Lord willing, in the days ahead in the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 13 going through 16. And I call it living on the promises of Jesus. But the promised one has left us promises. Do you believe the promises of Jesus Christ? Do you believe? Well, you see, in order to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must believe his word, and you must trust that it's true and put your life confidence in him. So let's go and look at some things. Let's go all the way back to John chapter 3. This is a famous one that most of us know in here. I wanted to go through so that you could mark these in your Bible. These are wonderful, rich promises that Jesus has promised to every person who will believe in him. Notice this promise. It's famous. John 3:16. John 3:16. Jesus says, John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man. That's what Jesus called himself when he was revealed in flesh on the earth. He's the Son of Man. He must be lifted up, that is, crucified, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever again believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Please read verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, the first and greatest promise of all is that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all of you who are part of the church here today, those of you who have believed in the Lord Jesus, you have put your faith in him, by grace you've been saved through your faith in Jesus Christ. You have believed on him in your world, in your situation, young and old alike. As a result of that, you now have eternal life. Life that is eternal, life that never ends. But we go on. In John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus made another promise. He said to those who would believe in him, look at John chapter 6, verse number 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, John 6:35. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. What satisfies the deepest longings of our heart? A relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't believe in ideas. We don't believe in a philosophy. We believe in Jesus Christ, the mystery of godliness, who came into this world like one of us, as one of us, in flesh, who is the Son of God, human and divine at the same time, completely. And we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we now experience something the world can't understand, a sense of satisfaction that goes beyond our thirsts and our hungers. What is it that comes in our life? A deep sense of satisfaction. When I know the Lord Jesus, that's all I need. Look at verse 51. The Lord Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus promised eternal life to those who believe in him. Jesus promised a life of complete satisfaction. I am satisfied with Jesus, the hymn says. I am satisfied with Jesus. I hope that's the song you sing. I hope that's the way you live. But also Jesus promised that we would have Holy Spirit abundance in this life if we believe on him. Look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Holy Spirit abundance. John 7:37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive. That's all of you who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit. You now have the Holy Spirit possessing you and influencing your mind and your desires, guiding you, teaching you, and filling you with an abundance that you can't get from your possessions. You can't get from other relationships. An abundance, something down inside that fills you with a joy. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. We're spiritually satisfied with Holy Spirit abundance, and then also with the light of life. Look in John chapter 8. Moving right along in John 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Wherever we go in this dark world of sinfulness, we are the light of the world because the light, the Lord Jesus, the light of life is in us. And we now show that light. We show that life to others. We find our way through the darkness because of the light of life. We live and have an abundant life because of the light of life that continues to give us and help us thrive and grow spiritually. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have eternal life. They are spiritually satisfied. They experience lifetime satisfaction. They have Holy Spirit abundance, the light of life, but they also are permanently protected by the Lord Jesus. John chapter 10, verse number 28. John chapter 10, verse number 28. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep, those who believe in me. You're one of the followers of Jesus. Like sheep follow a shepherd, believers follow Jesus. It's just as natural as that. Sheep follow a shepherd, believers follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one snatches them out of my hand. We are protected by our Lord Jesus in all the circumstances of life, even in the hardest and the most difficult days of your life. Your life is protected by the Lord. We are kept by him, and no one snatches us out of his hand. And finally, the Lord Jesus promised that those who believe in him will never die, even when they die. This sounds like a great mystery and contradiction, and it is to the world, but it isn't for believers. We gather many times to say goodbye to our friends who die, and their bodies are left in the ground here in this world. Their spirit ascends to heaven to be with the Lord. They're still alive. They die, and they're still alive. They, even if you die, you never die. Listen to what the Lord said to Martha in John chapter 11. Verse number 25, as he stood there saying to Martha, your brother will rise again. He was about to raise her brother from the dead. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen, he who believes in me will live even if he dies. You don't have to be afraid to die anymore. You don't ever have to be afraid to die anymore, because when you die, you don't die. Read what the Lord says. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asked Martha, and I ask you. You see, this is the great confidence of believers in Jesus Christ. This has been the great confidence and courage that believers have had when they've faced death as martyrs, when they've stood and said, if you don't deny Jesus, we're going to kill you. And they knew. They knew. In fact, some martyrs begged them, go ahead and kill me. I'll just be alive forever. Go ahead and do what you must do. The Lord Jesus said it. I say it to you today. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, take courage. Take courage. Even if you die, you will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord Jesus promised that whoever believes in him will go to heaven because of him. Listen to these words. It's John chapter 14. We'll look at these words in more detail in the days ahead. The Lord Jesus said in verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. The Lord said, don't be troubled and fearful in this world. Believe in me. And then he said, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus promises that whoever believes in him will have great eternal blessings. And we read now today, great is the mystery of godliness. He was believed on in the world. The Lord Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended to heaven. And what happened? While he was on the earth, while he was revealed in flesh, many believed in him. Many believed in the Lord Jesus Christ when he was in Jerusalem for the great feast. Let me just give you these phrases. Many believed, it says, all through the Gospels. Many believed in him. Oh, many did not believe, but many believed. You are here today in this church representing those many who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ through all of these centuries. You are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many among us, many around us in our families and among our friends and strangers that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many believed on Jesus at the Passover. John 2 says, when he was in Jerusalem during the feast, many believed in his name, observing the signs which he was doing. When he went and spoke with the woman in Samaria, when he went there just out of Israel into Samaria, there among those Samaritan people who were half Jewish and half Gentile, he spoke with the woman at the well. He exposed to her the kind of lifestyle, sinful lifestyle she was living, just living with a man. He described all of those things, and she ran back to town when she'd come to draw her water to tell them about Jesus. And the Bible says in John 4, many of the Samaritans believed in him. Many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman. And then many of them came, and the Bible says many others believed because of the word of the Lord. The Samaritans believed, many believed in Jerusalem. And many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ when he had to flee from the Jews beyond the Jordan. The Bible says, John 10, many believed in him there. And so we see all of these occasions where many believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Roman centurion, the nobleman whose son was dying and he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the woman who had the issue of blood, they all believed in the Lord Jesus. After the Lord Jesus had ascended and the Holy Spirit had come in the book of Acts, we read the words, many of those who heard the message believed. Many of those who heard believed. Not everyone. Many believed. And the number of men who believed, I love the way the book of Acts describes it, using this word twice. Many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of the men, just the men, who believed came to be about 5,000. Well, we are the church who believe in Jesus Christ in the world today. What does the confession say? Great is the mystery of godliness. He was believed on in the world. Where were you when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Where were you? Where were you, and what kind of circumstances in the world were you experiencing when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? I always think of that phrase, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul's in jail. He spent a lot of time there. He was in jail, but he was singing praise to God, and it was midnight, and all of a sudden the earthquake came. And all the prison doors were opened, and the jailer knew if the prisoners got away, he would be killed. He would be punished by death. And so he runs, and Paul says, nobody's gone, don't be afraid. He runs and falls down before Paul, and he says, what must I do to be saved? And what does Paul say? It's what you have to say to your friends, and I have to say to mine. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Those are the words we go and say. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. To your stranger friend that is your neighbor that you don't know. To your family member. To those around you. We proclaim him among the nations, and we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, in this short time I have, I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. Way back in your New Testament, back toward the back of the letters of Paul, you have this book, 1 Thessalonians, probably the first letter Paul wrote to all the churches. These were some of the earliest believers in Jesus Christ in the world, 1 Thessalonians, and I want us to see as we finish that the church is those who believe in Jesus Christ in the world today. We believe just like the example of these Thessalonians. You have believed in the Lord Jesus. You don't believe in a motto. You don't believe in a concept or idea. You believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we then seek to become like Jesus in the way we live and the way we treat other people. 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul says, he's writing to the Thessalonians, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Look, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, when you heard about Jesus, you thought about your sin, and you started having terror and fear. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to be separated from God. You don't want to live under the wrath of God. And so however it came in your life, you experienced Holy Spirit conviction so that you would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So did these Thessalonians. He goes on and says, they were imitators of Paul, verse 6. And they received the word of God, the gospel, and they believed in Jesus in troubles. Their lives weren't without troubles. They had difficulties. And in their troubles, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they lived in the joy of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing, something would be the best for a sad Christian in this room. You want me to tell you the remedy for a sad Christian? Go get around a new believer in Jesus Christ. They'll make you happy again. They'll make you joyful again. They'll remind you of what you used to sing praise. It's the fellow that used to, I can't tell the story because of the time, but he was in terrible condition. He lived across the street from this little First Baptist church where I was the pastor. We kept sharing the gospel with him. He was a mean character. One day he came to know the Lord and he said, "Now the sky is bluer and the grass is greener." Praise God. When you get saved, happiness gets in your life. And for all of you sad Christians, go get around a new believer. They'll make you happy again in Jesus. The joy of the Holy Spirit fills our lives as a result of being saved. And those who believed in the Lord Jesus, verse 9, they themselves report to us how you turned from your idols to God. You see, that's repentance. You never can be saved unless you repent of your sins. You can't say, "Well, I'm going to have Jesus, but I'm also going to carry along my favorite sins." Doesn't work that way. You must renounce your sins, renounce your following of Satan, renounce your allegiance to the world, and you must be willing to follow Jesus exclusively, turn away from your old way of life, your old lifestyle, the way you used to talk, the people you used to associate with. You turn away from all of that and you turn and you follow Jesus. That's what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus. And then verse 10, to wait for Jesus to come again. I say to you every week, the Lord is near to the door. And we say, "Come, Lord Jesus." At the time of the table today, we'll say, "Come, Lord Jesus." So what do we remember today as we finish? Well, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will never be disappointed. I dare you to trust Jesus. You'll never be disappointed. You might disappoint Him, but He will never disappoint you. Trust Him. Trust Him. Today, some of you need to hear me. Trust Him in what you're going through. Trust Him. Believe His words. Live on His promises. Remember what He has said to you. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ lives even when they die. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ believes Him to be the Son of God, the only begotten of God. No one ever will be like Him. He is the mystery of godliness. He is the eternal Son of God. And whoever believes in Jesus lives with confident assurance. I've given you this verse as we finish. 2 Timothy 1:12. You know what it says? "I know whom I have believed." Can you say that today? This is the confidence of those who believed in Jesus. This is the confidence you have after you live your life and go through some difficult times and struggles, and you have to trust God when you can't seem like you can't see the way forward. You don't know what to do. "I know in whom I have believed." And I am confident, I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have committed to Him or trusted to Him until the day He returns. Praise the Lord. Great is the mystery of godliness. Just like those in the times of the gospel, here we are. We have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. And so may we go and share the gospel even today, with someone the Lord brings our way. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the Lord is near to the door. We pray, come Lord Jesus.